Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you can turn with me in your Bible to 2 Kings chapter 23 and put bookmark there and then pop over to John 10, John chapter 10. And I'll get us started in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for every person that's on this line tonight. Thank you for those that will listen later. Thank you, Father God, for what you're doing in us in this hour. I thank you, Father, that your word goes deep within us. And I ask that tonight that you would settle things around us and that we could avail ourselves to the message that you have for us tonight. That we could receive these promises, these encouragements, these instructions, and take it to heart and apply these things in our lives, that we might rise up and step into the fullness of our call in the days ahead. I thank you, Father God, for the treasure that we have. I thank you for the treasure that we have in your word, in our salvation. A treasure that is valued so much that we could sell all that we have to go and buy the field in which that treasure lies. We thank you, Father God, for the bountiful way you meet us when we come before you. We thank you for the beauty of who you are. We thank you beyond all else. We thank you for the gift that you laid on the altar for our eternal salvation. We thank you. In your precious and holy name, amen. I want to talk to you tonight about the tale of two kings and their fight for a nation. The tale of two kings and their fight for a nation. John 10:10. It says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." The thief, we could say very easily, is one king. The thief is the enemy of our soul. The thief is the king of all that is evil. He comes to do what? To kill, to steal, to destroy. He's the king of darkness, the prince of darkness. He compels the evil that we see in this earth. He roams throughout the earth looking for the next conquest, the next person, the next city, the next state, the next nation he can devour. He is the enemy of our soul, and he is fighting for this nation. The other king is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the one that laid down his life for us, that we might have life abundantly. He is the one that came, he walked this earth, he lived as a man, and he gave his life for us. that we might have life everlasting, that we might have life and life abundantly. This is a tale of two kings, and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Prince of Peace is fighting for this nation. Why are these two fighting for this nation? Why are they fighting so hard for this nation? I mean, it's a young nation. We are, you know, we're barely a toddler in the timeline of history. A young nation. But we are, in fact, a young nation. A nation whose eyes, whose full of people whose eyes are still filled with wonder when they think about the Prince of Peace and the Lord of Lords. We have a childlike wonder when it comes to the Lord. We are open to Him. We seek His face. This nation is filled with people, and unfortunately we have a lot of nominal Christians, people who just are kind of sliding in. But then we have those who seek His face day in and day out. Those who understand the importance of this nation. Those who understand that this nation is a light unto all the earth. That this nation was created, one nation under God. That this nation was created with a plan and a purpose that must be fulfilled. If this nation, this light, were to be extinguished, the Prince of Darkness would sweep in and envelop the earth. The things that we see, that we barely hear about, because the media doesn't like to share this information with us, but the persecution of Christians, and I don't mean shaming them because they bring their Bible to work. I'm talking about those that are beheaded because they have a page of the Bible. I'm talking about Pakistan with less than 1% left. Less than 1% of their population are Christians. Because that has been almost extinguished in their country because they've all been killed. I'm talking about many places in Africa where Islam is coming in, riding the Prince of Darkness, sweeping across the land, seeking to kill, to steal, to destroy. I'm talking about the many nations around the world where there's no discrimination when it comes to killing Christians. There's no mercy in it either. This nation was created to be an end-time nation. To be the birthplace of an end-time army. One that would war in the heavenlies and fight to see the King of Kings and Lord of Lords released into the nations. To be the birthplace of revival that have gone around the world, like Azusa Street Revival, around the world, 60 countries in under 2 years when air travel wasn't a thing. That's a miracle. That's the power of revival. That's the power of the release of the Spirit of God in the earth. People are hungry for that release. People crave the release. They will sell all that they have to go to the place and receive of the treasure. It's the birthplace of a revival that established missionaries, churches worldwide. They sent from Azusa Street, they sent on a boat 6 weeks, 8 weeks, however long it took, to other nations. And they would go to the port because the Lord sent them, and they would speak the language that they knew, the second language that they somehow miraculously knew. And in some cases, it was a miraculous event. And there would be someone in the port who would understand them, having been led there by the Spirit of God to pick this person up. And they would take them back to their village. And their village would experience revival. That's the power of revival. Revival sends people into the darkest nations with fearless warriors who will release the truth of the Word of God. That's what this baby nation has done. This baby nation right here is the birthplace of churches worldwide. We send out more Bibles. We send out more missionaries. We send out more funds to not only spread the gospel, but to meet the needs of other people, to meet the needs of people in crisis, to meet the needs of people who are hungry. This baby nation has a powerful light. No wonder with "In God We Trust" as our motto, one nation under God, indivisible. With these phrases honoring our Creator, how can we not be a nation of light? No wonder the Prince of Darkness seeks to extinguish this light. If the enemy can extinguish this light, every missionary that is out in the world will likely experience martyrdom within months. If the enemy can extinguish this light, the funds that go out around the world will dry up. The missionary trips to help build homes and evangelize will dry up. One nation under God builds homes, builds churches, clothes and feeds the hungry, and evangelizes the lost. And if that light is extinguished, imagine the darkness that will settle over the earth. Imagine every nation around the world not having that resource to tap into. It's like we are a giant power strip. We're just a giant power strip. And these nations are plugged into us to receive of the light of the living God. And if someone pulls that plug, it will impact the earth. So we have the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who came to give us life and give it more abundantly. And we have the thief, the prince of darkness, who has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. This is the battle we're in. Sometimes we get so busy in our lives, in our little, our family, and I'm not diminishing it. I've got 4 kids. I've got 6 grandkids, you know. Family's important. I have a job in ministry, but it's still a job. I understand. You know, you still have to do the business side of ministry. We can get so busy, it begins to pull us away from the light, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. It can begin to distract us from our purpose. We can spend less time in the Word and less time in prayer, which is what the enemy wants. He's a thief. He may be the prince of darkness, but he's a thief. And he's here to steal, to kill, and to destroy. If he can steal your faith, if he can destroy your hope, if he can extinguish your light, how many people will that impact around you? How many people will be affected by the loss of your light in their lives? We're not just a nation that reaches the world. We're individuals that were created to be alive in this season of history, to be a part of this army. That's why we're here. God chose you to be born where you were born. God chose you to be born by the parents you were born by. He chose you to be raised. He chose your parents for you. He chose your city for you. He knew the life that you would have. He also knew the moment that you would bow the knee. He knew every obstacle that you would face, and he knew what the outcome would be. Do you know what the outcome is? The enemy is coming to steal, kill, and destroy. How is he impacting your faith? I ask you this because I know the battle I go through. I know how the enemy can come in, even with prophetic words. The enemy can come in, and I talked 2 weeks ago on Nehemiah, and I talked about how they're building the wall, and there's even prophetic words coming at them, right? We need to leave right now. They are literally building the wall with one hand. They've got a sword in the other hand, and they are fighting off the enemy. Friend and foe, they are fighting to do and complete the commission that God has placed on their lives. That's what's happening. And I told you last time, we can't let anything get in there that will distract us from our call, from our commission. When there is a prophetic word that goes out that is frightening, we get inundated with emails, and that's okay, because we want to hear it. We want to be able to encourage you. We want to be able to lift you up, and we want to be able to remind you that you are a warrior, and you work for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Your call, your commission is to be in the army of God, not be swallowed up by the prince of darkness. You're a child of the King. You're in the King of Kings army. You weren't put here to be swallowed up by the prince of darkness. And when the enemy comes in to try to divide your attention, he starts to get a wedge in there, and we want to help you kick that wedge out. When the Lord releases something, and you know, I mean, my mom, I told you guys this, my mom wrote Prepare for the Winds of Change, and she added some things to it, and we reprinted it, Prepare for the Winds of Change 2. Now, she had me help her with the editing. This was in the 90s. I'm a young mother, and if you've read this book, you'll completely understand where I'm coming from. I read through that book, and I was so engrossed in the experiences that she had. I was so terrified by the experiences that she had. And what the angel of the Lord told her, I'll never forget. I was sitting on my floor and I was on the phone with her and we were about to go over some changes that I was recommending. And I said, are these things really going to happen? Like my mom would publish something that wasn't going to really happen, right? And she said, yes. And I remember, as though it were yesterday, my blood ran cold. Why? Because I had young children. And because I was not ready. I wasn't ready for the battle that what's in that book would take. God in His mercy. In His absolute mercy, knowing the commission upon this nation, came to her and asked her to do the gathering of the eagles. And as we did those, we have been able to stay the hand of judgment on this nation. It's through the prayers of the saints. It's through Joel's army, the gatherings, Joel's army, the work together that we've been able to push back judgments. It's through the work of these two arms of our ministry that we've been able to develop and mature intercessors. It's through the work that we have done that we were able to get Donald J. Trump as our president. Were it not for the intercessions of the saints, the many words that were prophesied about him would not have been fulfilled when they were. Who knows what they would have done to our country by now? Why is this so important right now? Because the enemy has some serious plans laid up for us. He has some serious plans. He wants to come in and he wants to bring about famine. He wants to come in and he wants to bring about a poisoning of our waters. He wants to come in. He wants to malign our president. He wants to come in and really bring us into a place of such abject poverty this nation cannot rise up again. He has quite the schedule set up. Quite the schedule set up. Even ladies upset. That is his plan. God's plan. See, that's the prince of darkness. God's plan is absolutely, absolutely, without question, a powerful plan that will turn this nation into the fullness of the light that she's been created to walk in. It will bring forth a revival in this nation that will sweep the globe. That's God's plan for this nation. The enemy, the prince of darkness, wants to bring destruction. But the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, is raising up an army that will be equipped, as we learned in our Melchizedek sessions. God is trying to grow the church up so that we are equipped to stand against the plans of the enemy, that we can go toe to toe with the enemy and win. That's God's plan, to grow us up. So where are we? Where are we walking? Are we living in fear, waiting for the prince of darkness and his, you know, he's just a thief to come and steal our hope, our joy, our faith, the promises of God, our nation? Or are we over here with the King of Kings being equipped for the battle ahead? Where are we? How do we get equipped? What does God call us to do to be equipped? And we've shared this. You stay in the Word and in prayer. You seek the face of God day in and day out, and you don't let the enemy steal your time. You don't let the enemy, the thief, come in and steal your time. I was reading through, you know, I've been studying a lot in Kings and in Chronicles. And I was reading about Josiah and studying his life. He was quite the king. You know, after years after, you know, and this is after the nation split, and we had the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah. Years later, and this is after, why, what happened? They brought in other gods and served other gods. And we had a few kings who came in and did some intervention. But when Josiah came in, he wreaked havoc in the enemy's camp. He was young. He was young when he started. He had to grow up. But when he had the word of the Lord brought in, the covenant come in and read before him and the people, something took place in this young man. Something took place in him, and this warrior rised up within him. And he went out and he destroyed every idol in his land. He not only destroyed them, he took them, he burned them up, he ground them up, and he mixed them in the grave. Don't go retrieve them. They don't belong in this nation. We are a nation who serves Yahweh, Jehovah God. I am the creator, the one who delivered them, the King of Kings, the one who brings in the glory. He is the one who we will serve in this land. And you think, what's a few idols? The idols that they served were idols that were bringing forth serious judgment on their land. They served Ashtaroth and Moloch, the same gods that we're fighting here in our country. Moloch is the sacrifice of infants. Moloch is this big creature. It was made of iron, and it had seven chambers, because there is one. It's outside the Colosseum in Italy. It has seven chambers. Some were made that it had its hands. It was in a seated position, and it had its hands outstretched, and they would put fire in the belly of this god, that little g god, and until the hands were red hot. They had dancing and they had music, and the drums would be beat hard as they would lay an infant on those hands. The drums drowned the screaming of that infant. It's not much different than what abortion does. It's the same sacrifice being done. You just can't hear the scream. If you've seen the movie, The Silent Scream, or if you have seen Abby Johnson's story, you know different. This is a primary thing in our country that we are fighting against. Why is it important to note that? Because we finally have a president that says life begins at conception. We finally have a president who, as the leader of the nation, boldly declares life begins at conception and abortion is a horrific crime against humanity. Ashtaroth is a god of perverse sexuality. Human trafficking helps to feed this god and worship this god. So these are the two major strongholds that were in the nation of Judah when Josiah came and said, wipe it out. These are the two strongholds we have in our nation right now. Human trafficking and abortion. And human trafficking is something that we finally have a president in the office that acknowledges it. And the very first thing he did while in office was what? Sign an executive order to freeze all the assets of anyone caught trafficking in persons. That means human trafficking, to freeze their money. He has signed 9 additional executive orders to fight against human trafficking. He's the first president in office to have an actual task force dedicated to fighting against human trafficking. This is a passion of his. Why are these two leaders so significant? Because Josiah understood, even at a young age, what it meant to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. He understood what it meant to heed the commands of the Lord. He understood the damage that idolatry was bringing about to the nation, and he sought to destroy it at every level. Josiah, you know, there was a man of God in 1 Kings 13 who came out and prophesied that there would be a king that would rise up named Josiah, and he would do away with the high places and he would destroy the groves. It was 362 years prior, by name. That's one of the most specific prophecies. We've heard about, of course, Cyrus. That was a couple hundred years before Cyrus was born. When he read that prophecy, when that was brought to his attention, he got on it. In 1983, there was a prophecy. He was a vet, World War II vet, and he spent his life in prayer. That's what he did. And the Lord told him, 1983, that Donald Trump would turn America back to God. And he said, Donald Trump, the American playboy? Yes. He will turn America back to God. How is, who was once an American playboy, a man who got saved the year he took office, how is that man turning this nation back to God? Because he's doing everything he can to pave the way and clear the idolatry that's taking place in our country. The things that hamper the things of God, the things that hamper a nation is idolatry. And bloodletting is the worst. It gives the enemy license to rule. And what is he doing? He is fighting to tear down Moloch and Ashtaroth on our soil. So what's the enemy's plan? Well, he has sought since day one to steal the presidency, to kill the plans that he set forth, and destroy this nation. And the enemy has another trick in his bag. You know, he plans to come out and malign our president. Bring the past up. And we as believers can't get distracted by that. We've got to remember what we were like before we got saved. What did Jesus do when the woman caught in adultery came up? He knelt down and he drew in the sand. And he said, he who is without sin cast the first stone. Because they understood the seriousness of that act. And there was the authority and the conviction of the Son of God on those words. And when he got up, there was not one left standing. Why? They had all dispersed because they knew that their life was not without sin. We need to remember that in the days ahead. Before we cast stones at the man God chose in 1983, and Kim Clement, my mom, the Lord spoke to me, Mark Taylor, Sundar, Neville, the Lord has spoke, Lance Walnow, Mario Murillo, the Lord has spoken to so many that this man would be president. Why do we buck the plan of God to save our nation? Why do we allow the enemy to get a foothold? As intercessors, the enemy will come in and he will distract us to keep us from our time in prayer. And then we get out there and we haven't been in the closet praying. We haven't been in the word and we're out there kind of floundering about like a toddler. And the enemy comes in and what do? We listen. Why? Because we're not built up. We haven't allowed him to build us up. He's not going to just build us up as we walk down the street, as we brush our teeth, as we get ready. That's not the building that takes place. The building takes place when we're alone with him in the quiet place. Jesus trained up 12 disciples. One turned his back. The enemy came in, distracted him, and he turned his back. But Jesus, raising up 12 disciples, feeding thousands, walking on water, calming the storm, healing the sick, opening blind eyes, raising the dead, opening deaf ears, people crowding around him so much so that he couldn't tell who was touching him unless the anointing poured out of him, like the woman with the issue of blood. because he could feel the Spirit move through him. Why? Why was he capable of that? You said, well, he was the Son of God. Of course he was capable of that. Adam was the first Son of God. Let's not forget. Because Jesus got up in the early morning hours and spent time alone with the Father, where he was nourished, where his spirit was strengthened. He was the Son of God, but he was also a man. And if he didn't avail himself to that, he couldn't have endured the trial. At any point, and I've talked to you about this before, at any point last year on our the message I did at Passover, I talked about this. At any point, he could have called down, and he said this, a legion of his Father's angels to rescue him. But he went to the cross for us. But it took day after day on his face before the Father for him to have what was necessary to lay down his life for us. The Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords had to 100% rely on the Father, or he would not have endured his greatest trial, which was also his greatest passion, because it brought us into the kingdom. He had to receive that ongoing deposit, that ongoing strengthening, that ongoing discipline before God to stay on that cross at any point. He knew what it would be like. Remember the night before, he sweat great drops of blood. Do you know the your blood pressure has to be near a stroke level for you to sweat great drops of blood? Because he knew what he was about to go through. Not just in the flesh, but in the separation from God as he took our sin upon him. If the Son of God, the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings needs that kind of interaction with the Father on a daily basis in order to endure that, how much more do we? In September of 2019, the Lord told me 2020 would be the year of shaking. And when I got up in this plane, and I know I shared this with you before, but I'm going to share it with you again because you need to hear this. When I got up in the plane to fly home, the pilot said there's about to be some turbulence. Now, up to this point, now I've flown, you know, I since I was four, I have flown in the airplanes. And I never feared turbulence, ever. But I had back surgery, and when I was able to come back, start coming back to the gatherings, the first time we hit turbulence, it was only about 20 minutes, but by the time it was over, I was crying. It was an involuntary response. I was in tears. Karen is praying over me. I am weeping like a baby. I was like, Lord, it was so bad. I wanted to get a car and drive home back to Fresno. It was that bad. I said, well, you're going to have to do something. You know, you're going to have to get me through this, Lord, because I have traveling to do. You're going to have to get me through this. And so trip after trip that I went on, you know, I was in terror. It was really pathetic. I feel like it was pathetic. But because I'm not afraid of things. I'm not a fearful person. So But there came this point where the Lord worked to lift my faith. And he reminded me of when I, many, many years ago, the Lord said, I mean, my mom said, you know, the Lord will give us authority over the elements if we will lift up our faith. And I remember at the time, Fresno doesn't really have a lot of weather, you know, issues. It's, we get fog in the winter and it's hot in the summer. That's us. We have this really erratic wind thing happening. And this tornado, we got some tornadoes that year. And they weren't bad, you know, just a rooftop or a tree. That was it. But I went outside because the sky was going green and I have family back east, so I know what that means. So I'm out there and I'm looking up and right above my home is this funnel beginning. And I thought, I don't think so. And I remembered what my mom said. You can take authority over the elements. So I went out there and I commanded that thing to unravel in the name of Jesus. And before my eyes, that thing dissipated. And, you know, I was almost to tears. I was so relieved because, you know, it was over my house. And it was huge. And so while I'm in the plane, I'm remembering this. So I tried to fight against the involuntary tears that are, you know, running down my face. And I just began to seek the Lord between conferences. I said, Lord, help me, you know, give me grace. He didn't give me grace. He gave me authority. In his mercy, he gave me authority. And we came to this place where they would say, turbulence is coming. And I would begin to pray and they would turn off the seatbelt light and say, well, I guess we went over it. I guess it's settled. Sometimes we'd have it for 2 or 3 minutes and I would pray and the Lord would deal with it right then. Sometimes it never occurred. Why is that important? Because here we are on our way home from DC in at the end of September, beginning of October of last year. And they said, turbulence is coming. And I said, okay, Lord. And I went to prayer. I'm sitting there and I'm praying. And I'm taking authority over the elements, right? And it just kept on bouncing. And it bounced and it bounced for a good hour. And one of our intercessors, who's actually from California, suddenly, and I realized that I had been in such deep prayer, and they reached out and grabbed my seat because they were right across the aisle and said, Ricky, are you going to write about the revival? And I said, yeah. And the turbulence stopped. And I looked out over the window, out the window, and it was around noon. And I saw the beauty of the sun's reflection on the earth. And I'm telling you, it was like liquid gold as the sun reflected over the bodies of water beneath us. And you could see this liquid gold all across the earth, weaving in and out through rivers, lakes, canals. It was beautiful. I actually took a video of it because it was so beautiful, and I'd never seen anything like it. And so as I sat there, the Lord said, 2020 will be the year of shaking. It will be turbulent, but it will be tolerable if you pray. That didn't mean that God was going to stop everything, that the virus was just going to float away, that the impeachment hearings would just stop, that Black Lives Matter would just dissipate. That's not what it meant. It meant God is going to use what's taking place to strengthen us and grow us up. It meant that it will be tolerable. Anything that's intolerable, we can stop. But God is trying to grow us up, my friends. We are a baby nation, and it's time that the intercessors, the children of God, mature and stop relying on the immaturity of our nation to let us slide through this wicked world, but rather rise up and be the force to be reckoned with in the earth. The force to be reckoned with in the earth. This is the hour in which He is growing us up. It's tolerable in spite of all the unbelievable. Sometimes I look back and I think, oh my gosh, all this happened this year. This is insane. And it's only going to get worse. But it's not going to be intolerable if we will draw into Him. Allow Him to bring us into the secret place. He will move us into higher levels of authority, higher levels of maturity in Him, because our hope, our dependence, our reliance is on Him. He said, if you pray, it'll be tolerable. So whatever the enemy has planned, he's not going to get to the full extent of his plan, because his effort is to destroy this country. And God has said, this nation will be free. God has said, this nation will be free. The enemy wants to make it a socialist, communist country, and the Lord God says, absolutely not. I put a man in office who is strong enough to fight against it. I put a man in office and gave him the unction to get rid of the things that bring forth sacrifice and feed the powers of darkness. I put a man in office who has within him the fight. I ask you to pray this through. We have got to grow up and step into the fullness of His calling. The fullness of the calling God has on our lives. The beauty of that calling is a fearless force to be reckoned with. Whatever comes in the next few months, you have to remember the promises of God. That's what I have to tell myself every day when someone sends me a word or gives me a word. I mean, my goodness, what the Lord told my mom that we're going to be praying about in 2 weeks. Please, please, please come join us in that fight. Because why? It'll be tolerable if we pray. God will stop the things that are intolerable and release this nation from the grip of the enemy if we will pray. We are fighting against forces that are unimaginable. But we are unimaginable warriors. That's what He created you to be. The enemy would have us sitting around thinking that we are these petulant children. You know, my grandson came up to me and he has this little Captain America hat, you know, and he's three. He has this little Captain America hat, and I was sharing this with a friend yesterday. And a pacifier in his mouth. And they get, so you want to save the world while sucking on your pacifier. I thought that's exactly what we are. We're a bunch of children sucking on our pacifier, but we want to be the hero. Friends, He is the hero. We are the vessels. And if we will arm ourselves with prayer, with the word, and you guys are probably thinking that's all Ricky ever talks about. Well, yep, that's true. With prayer, with the word, we will be an unshakable force in the earth, fearless in our fight. When the enemy comes against us, he will flee in seven ways because we have the authority that God puts on us. When we come together, we are a mighty army against the enemy's camp. A mighty army against that camp. Whatever comes, my friends, do not let fear set into your heart. Do not give in to that fear, because fear is the absence of faith. And when that fear penetrates your heart, faith can't function. Do not let fear set in. Go to prayer. Go to prayer. Call us if you need prayer. Email us if you need prayer. Because we will stand by you and help you to grow up and be the warrior God has created you to be. He didn't create us to shelter in our homes, in our bunkers, while the world figures out what's going to happen. He called us to be warriors, to be influencers in the nation, influencers in the earth, influencers in our family, influencers in the church. That's where he called us to be, forces to be reckoned with. When he said, it will be turbulent, yes, but it will be tolerable if you will pray. And I looked out that window and I saw the beauty of the sun's reflection on the surface of the water. He said, and when it's over, my glory will flow. My glory. His glory comes in the midst of crisis, in the midst of turbulence. When we win the victories, when we win the battles, that's when he comes. Be encouraged, my friends. If you are new to this ministry, our ministry is worldforjesus.org. There's many teachings on there. My mom's book, Overcoming Life Through Prayer, is in English and in Chinese. Read it. Read it and learn how to pray. It's a powerful book. Read it and learn how to pray. It's not too late to be the warrior. Breastplate of Righteousness, another beautiful book. It's not too late to be the warrior God called you to be. Don't just come for the prophetic revelation. Be an influencer. Be a part of impacting the earth as a prophetic intercessor. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for the hope. I thank you for the faith. I thank you for the warrior within. I thank you that you are creating fearless warriors in this hour. I thank you, Lord God, that there are those among us that the enemy quakes when they rise out of their prayer closet. He goes to and fro in the earth looking for who to devour, but when he sees the warriors of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he stops short and he quakes. I thank you, Father God, that that is the caliber of intercessor you are bringing up in this hour. I thank you, Father God, that you are maturing us. You are strengthening us. I thank you, Father God, that you are teaching and developing us. And that you are anchoring us in you. I thank you, Father God, that you are the King that we follow. You are the Lord that we serve. You are the one that we answer to. I thank you, Lord, that we are in your army. And that as these two kings battle for this nation, there are those on this line with us right now who are fighting on your side. What an honor and a privilege it is to be among those, Lord God, who will seek your face and seek your will to be released in the earth. Who will seek, Lord God, for thy kingdom come and thy will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord God, that is the release of your heavenly will. Your heavenly presence into this earth. What a beautiful thing to behold as it matures your saints. and they flow in the anointings that you place on their lives. The sacrifices they make, Lord God, to seek your face early in the morning is a sweet, sweet fragrance unto you. I thank you, Father God, that you are developing us, that you are maturing us, that you're giving us the wisdom and the discernment through our time with you and our time in the Word. Lord God, that you are growing us up in you, that the enemy cannot trip us up. Because all our hope and our focus is on you. Because why, you came to give us life and give it abundantly. That is an ongoing deposit of life into our spirit. I thank you for that, Lord God. Bless the people with us, Lord God. Bless them. Bless them for the sacrifices they make. Bless them, Lord God, for their obedience to the call. Bless them that they haven't given up on this nation. Bless them, Lord God, for their desire to see this nation remain as a light unto all the earth. Bless them. In your precious and most holy name. Amen. Thank you, Joan.